back on the Young Turks, Ryan Emerald says, go Anna, just rocked it with her rant on TYT Live. I couldn't agree more. Woke Poppy writes in, Collins was throwing shade for leagues, not for years, for leagues. That's really, really funny.
Can we play that, please?
I think I got it somewhere around here.
You're a bitch for leagues.
Okay, there you go.
Not for years.
You're a pirate, bitch.
Okay. Well, I'll just read one last one. I'm a derpy panda says, I'm a man child to address. It takes a man child to address a bunch of children. So God bless. All right, we got a lot of stories here. So let's keep going.
All right. NFL players have been known to suffer from brain damage as a result of the sport that they play. This was a huge story that broke about 5 years ago involving a number of NFL players that suffered from severe depression and some who even committed suicide as a result. And so an investigation into this found that because of the constant head trauma that NFL players have to experience as a result of the sport, they're likely to develop a condition known as CTE. Now CTE could lead to things like memory loss, mood swings, impulsive behavior, and also depression and suicidal thoughts. Now researchers have been delving into this issue even further, and recently researchers from VA Boston Healthcare System and Boston University School of Medicine looked at the brains of 202 deceased American football players. The researchers found that a whopping 87% of the players had CTE. That's the degenerative brain disease commonly found in athletes and also military vets with a history of head trauma. So that number is pretty high, but what happens when you study the brains of NFL players specifically? Among NFL players, that percentage shot all the way up to 99%. Only one of the 111 deceased NFL players analyzed did not have CTE. Now, before we move forward, I do want to mention a quick limitation to this study. These brains that were studied by these researchers were essentially donated by family members of deceased football players who had suspicions that these football players had CTE. So the sample is somewhat skewed, and the actual numbers, if you take a representative sample, might be a little lower. But I wanted to give you that limitation.
Yeah, and it's an important and significant limitation. Nonetheless, the numbers are so high that it still gives you a shocking perspective into how deep this problem is. I mean, 99%, that is unbelievable. So this absolutely settles it for me. There's no way I'm letting my son play football. And and that is enormously disheartening because I love football. And I'm gonna admit to being a total hypocrite here because I'm gonna keep watching football. And so maybe that's not the right thing to do, especially knowing that 99% of them are going to get head trauma or some huge number, maybe not that high, but an enormous number. And so I don't know how this it's part of how I grew up and it's part of what I consider to be America. So I'm heartbroken over this and I'm telling that I'm not going to let my kids do it, but I'm going to keep watching it. So I guess I should stop watching it, but I can't. And so I'm just being totally honest about my hypocrisy on this issue. But look, when I look at more of these numbers, I think thank God I didn't play college football because I thought about it. So I played high school football. First of all, for those of you who don't like me, this might explain something. Even among the high school football players, 21% of them had this same CTE.
That's right. Among college players, it's 91%.
Well, that's where I was going with it.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's a 1 out of 5 chance that I got the brain trauma for playing football from 8th grade on. So we're talking about 4 years of banging my head in playing football. And I thought about playing in college. And there's two factors. One, there was an excellent chance that I wasn't good enough. I'd have been right on the bubble. And even at a school that I went to is not known for football, I would have been on the bubble. The other thing is that it takes too long. And I was like, I gotta study and I gotta get good grades.
Right.
And if I play football and they're having me practice 8 hours a day, I'm worried about my grades. Thank God I was, so I played a much less violent sport, rugby. Now, rugby is arguably more violent, but you're not constantly banging heads because you don't have a helmet on. So the helmet might be the most ironically dangerous invention we've had to protect athletes ever. So. Right.
Well, I want to just quickly go back to the question of whether or not someone's hypocritical if they continue to watch football, knowing what we know now. And so I don't think that someone's hypocritical for continuing to watch football, because at least now the information is out there and the NFL isn't attempting to cover it up. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. In the beginning, when the story broke, one of the components of that story was the scandal involving the NFL kind of trying to brush this under the rug or cover up for it. And so adults couldn't really make a decision as to whether or not they wanted to play football or whether or not they wanted to allow their kids to play football. And I saw that as a huge problem. But if the information is out there and it's well known that this is the potential risk of playing the sport, well, then people get to make a decision as to what they want to do. So
I know, but I feel the same. I feel the same way about MMA, and I don't watch it. But unless it's on in a bar, and I'm at the bar, and I can't help but look at it, but I feel conflicted because it's modern day. You know, I don't know if you're allowed to say this, but what they called them during the slavery era, Mandingo fights. Now it's not just black folks, but so it's missing the racial component. But we're basically throwing them in a ring and saying, rip each other apart.
I know, but back then there was no consent, there was no choice.
No, that's a giant difference, exactly. Of course. But still, there's something a little, at least a little unsettling about it. So, look, let's do a poll on it, because I'm super curious. It's not up yet, but it will be by the time this goes up on YouTube, and we'll have the link down in the description box for you guys. We'll call it tytnetwork.com/football. Are you going to continue to watch football knowing that 99% of NFL players, or a number near that amount, based on this research, will get this degenerative brain disease? It's not an easy question, and I don't know which way you guys are going to come out on it.
I mean, I'm not going to watch it anyway.
So. Well, that's easy for you. I'm going to do something that nobody ever does. I'm going to encourage you not to vote in our poll if you don't watch football anyway, because that doesn't really tell us anything. So yeah. For the people who watch football, are you going to continue to watch it knowing how much damage it does to the athletes? Good question.
Yep.
And jump, by the way, last point, jumping from 21% chance of when you played in high school to 91% if you played in college, mm-hmm. That's a giant difference. So if your kids are thinking of going to college and they're going to play, don't think it's just the NFL. I'm keeping it real.
Yep. All right, moving on to other news. A couple fake signs were popping up in Minneapolis, and they were essentially warning the residents of the area of how police are easily startled. Now, of course, this is a response to the shooting death of Justine Damond. She was an Australian woman living in the area, and she had called the cops because she wanted to report a possible sexual assault in an alleyway near her home. Cops show up. She approaches the vehicle, and unfortunately, one of the cops sitting in the passenger side was startled and shot her. She died as a result. Now, people have been up in arms and extremely angry about this, mostly because there's been a lack of transparency in regard to why it is that she got shot, how she got shot. And so someone took matters into their own hands and made a political statement by putting up these signs, which have since been taken down. But it is a form of political speech that I can get behind.
Yeah, so of course you're not allowed to put it on the government property, which that sign otherwise is. And it says warning, it's got the cops shooting in both directions. Twin Cities police easily startled. But remember, also from the same area, Philando Castile was shot. And also because an officer was startled. Like, oh, put your hands up, put him down. Oh no, boom, he shot and killed him. And were people as angry about that? Well, only a certain percentage of the population. Now that it's Justine Damond, we're all angry. And I wish people were just as upset and wanted just as much change when it happened to Philando Castile. But now, at least most people in the area, and if not in the country, are beginning to realize it's not a good idea to train police that if you have 1% chance of having any kind of harm done to you, just shoot and kill the person.
Right.
And by the way, I said this from day one, and we had internal debates and discussions here on the Young Turks. Is it the cops? Is it the bad kind of people who sign up to be cops because they want to, they get high on power? And some people made that argument. Is it just racial? I think we've proven with the stats that there is a significant racial component. But the main thing is the training. They train them, watch out, watch out. You're going to get hurt at any second, and whatever you do, protect yourself, you don't get hurt. And if that means you got to shoot earlier, just shoot earlier. And they have, and now they're killing a lot of people. And that's why now everybody's upset.
Look, I don't think that it's one thing. I think it's a combination of factors. And one of those factors is, of course, the training. But I think another factor is the response that the community has had in regard to some of these shootings. Because the messaging has been, if a cop fears for their life for even a single second, they have the right to shoot, even if that person wasn't an imminent threat, even if that person wasn't armed. And so time and time again, cops have been given a pass when this exact same or similar things have happened. And it sends this certain type of messaging that, hey, you can be a little careless, because all you have to do is state that you feared for your life, and a grand jury will not indict you. The community will stand behind you, because being a cop is a difficult job. But it is interesting that now, all of a sudden, because of the fact that this is not impacting only one demographic, it impacts all of us, people are up in arms. People are concerned. People want answers. We should have wanted answers from the very beginning, when this pattern was incredibly apparent.
Look, I'll make a prediction ahead of time, and some of the people in the audience will cry about it, but go ahead and cry. This cop will face consequences because he shot a white woman. It's a black cop shooting a white woman. Everybody's pissed, so he's in a world of trouble. No matter what the race of the cop is, if you're shooting a black guy, it's a guy, he's by definition dangerous. He's a black guy. Of course you were in danger. But in this case, both the prosecutors, the community, and even the jury will think, how could he have possibly thought he was in danger? That's an innocent white woman.
Right. The mayor. The mayor came out and has been, very critical of what occurred, to the point where the sheriff stepped down. The police chief. I'm sorry, the police chief stepped down. When have we ever covered a story of an unarmed person getting shot and killed, and then a police chief saying, "No, I messed up. I'm going to step down." That never happens.
So finally, look, you don't have to believe any of the racial stuff. You just want to turn a blind eye to it. It's terrible, but you don't even need that. The two things we got to fix is the thing that I mentioned in animation, which is fix the training. This gets set into motion when we make those cops that jittery in the first place. And second of all, fix what happens after the shooting. Because if you teach them to shoot immediately, and then you say there will be no consequences afterwards, of course you're going to get this result. And so now that the whole country is facing it, just like the opioid crisis. War on drugs is great. Yeah, let's go get them out. Oh my God, white people are now suffering from drug addiction. Did you know that it's actually a health problem and not a crime problem? Great. So it's terrible that it's afflicting everybody, but if it is going towards a fix, thank you for all joining the movement. Let's get criminal justice reform. Let's make sure that if there's a cop shooting, not that they're prosecuted, we're not going to judge them ahead of time, but that an independent federal investigation happens, not the local prosecutors who work with them every single day. And for God's sake, remember that they're supposed to protect us, the community. That's their job. So they should be a hell of a lot more careful than they are, because now they're shooting everybody.
Yep. All right, let's take our final break for the show. When we come back, an incredible investigative report regarding the World of Faith Fellowship Church in North Carolina and how they've been using slave labor.
More anger when we return. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Members of the day are Richard Story and Melissa Bennett. We will also read your name if you're a member one day. This is the time to sign up. Last week now, guys, of free trial membership for a whole month. So go to tytnetwork.com/join and put in the promo code FREETYT, and you never know what we say in the post game, let alone you also get old school, aggressive, progressive, etc. And I got saucy on some lesbian fantasies last night. That's God bless, it's a little old school Young Turks there for you guys. So if you're a member, you can also watch the old post games and the old aggressive progressives and the old schools. So check that out too once you sign up. All right, Joey Deliacano writes in on YouTube Super Chat. We asked for it, we got it. He says, so Comey got fired because the way he treated Secretary Clinton, right? Pretty sure I remember knowing that was BS when they said it. What a joke.
Right. And then later on, I mean, that was his initial excuse for firing Comey. But then later on, he just openly said, yeah, I fired Comey because of the Russia investigation.
Because the Russia thing, it's so unfair. It's so unfair. Okay. Sven Vinterson says, watch hockey instead. Let your son play hockey. I like how Michael Schur pretended to be Sven Vinterson. Anyway.
Isn't hockey also like a pretty violent sport?
But not nearly as violent. They don't bang heads as much. Tom Sherry says, I agree with Malcolm Gladwell on football. It is an abomination. You're watching millionaires slowly give themselves brain damage. There's some truth to that. Last one, Derek Martin says, Cenk, thoughts on the football stadiums as modern day Coliseum, a violent distraction for the masses with elites in the skyboxes. Well, that unfortunately is also an accurate description. All right, now let's go to a cheerier story about slaves.
Yes.
Okay.
When it comes to the immigration debate in the United States, oftentimes those who are here without citizenship status are those who are painted as criminals or the bad guys. But a recent investigative report by the Associated Press indicates that there's a church in North Carolina that purposely traffics humans from Brazil with the sole intent of using them as slaves, slave labor. Now, this is the World of Faith Fellowship, and it used its two church branches in Latin America's largest nation to siphon a steady flow of young laborers who come on tourist and student visas to its 35-acre compound. Now, this church was started by a woman by the name of Jane Whaley, and according to dozens of people that the Associated Press spoke to, she has done terrible things and has threatened individuals who have said that they would speak out against the type of slave labor that they've been victimized by. So one individual who has experienced this firsthand says, they trafficked us up here, they knew what they were doing, they needed labor, and we were cheap labor, hell, free labor. So they did not get paid. The men and young boys in some cases who were brought from Brazil had to do tough labor, construction jobs. They had to work on the homes of some of the officials that worked for the church. And then the young girls who were brought here were forced to work hours on end, taking care of children, babysitting, things like that. So this was actually something that was tipped off to police years ago. In 2014, three ex-congregants told an assistant US attorney that the Brazilians were being forced to work for no pay. And I don't know what happened or whether or not there was an investigation, but what I do know is that nothing was really done. There was no outcome of that effort to draw attention to this issue. Also, they beat up anyone who tries to raise concerns or speak out about the treatment that they're facing. One other person says, most definitely one of the former congregants responded, ministers mostly bring them up here for free work, another said.
The most definitely was in response to whether they were beaten.
Right.
Let's review this. They capture you and you can't go anywhere because they took, in the relationship to the R. Kelly story, if you remember from a week ago, I said, don't let anybody take your phone and don't let anybody take your passport because what they're trying to do is control you. And so in R. Kelly's case, it was the phones. In this case, it's the passports. So they can't go anywhere. They literally can't go anywhere. And so a lot of them didn't even speak English. They get brought up and it's made to work for 15-hour days as young as when they are 12.
Yes.
And when you involve physical beatings, that's the definition of slavery, where you're captured, you're not allowed to go anywhere, and you're beaten and made to work for free. So, and it's done under the guise of a church. look.
It gets so much worse. There were arranged marriages. I want to give you guys as many details as possible, but I highly recommend that you read the full report. We'll include a link in the description box below. Let's go to graphic 13. Based on exclusive interviews with 43 former members, documents, and secretly made recordings, the Associated Press reported in February that congregants were regularly punched, smacked, and choked in an effort to purify sinners by beating out devils. So what are some of the things that they got beaten for? Here's an example. Anyone in the bathroom for more than the mandated 5 minutes was suspected of committing the sin of masturbation, and Whaley would be called to the house to decree the punishment. And they would literally beat these victims up to get the devil out of them, or to beat the sin out of them. If any of the males appeared to be having an impure thought, Barbosa said, everybody would be awakened, ordered to surround him and repeatedly shake him and shriek into his ears to expel the devils, a word of faith practice called blasting.
So that's if they thought that he was having an impure dream. How the hell do you know what kind of dream he's having?
This is insane. And they were, you know, they were living in you know, unsafe conditions. Several people, dozens of people crammed in a basement. It's just sick. And they were told all sorts of things, all sorts of promises before coming here to the US. You know, you're gonna come, you're gonna see the US, we're gonna allow you to go to school. But then they would overwork these kids to the point where they didn't have an opportunity to study or go to school at all.
So look, in the old days, we were told to respect authority figures. Now, it's not right to go completely in the opposite direction and say, don't ever respect any authority figures. That's crazy. But we have learned that we have to be a lot more careful. Some people use their position of power to oppress other people and for their own enjoyment, pleasure, benefit, etc. So how many stories do you have to see before you get that through your head? Because it's a church, if you automatically trust it, you're nuts. So that doesn't mean you shouldn't trust any church. No, there's some wonderful churches out there, lots of wonderful religious organizations, and plenty of terrible ones. But if you say, no, but wait, I have faith. Well, these kids had faith. Their parents had faith when they sent them to North Carolina, and they got signed up for modern day slavery. You cannot have faith without reason, because how else would you know what to put your faith in? So when you are assessing something, just because the religious organization doesn't mean it is exempt from reason or how you would normally judge a situation and it's mm-hmm. and it's whether it's safe, not safe, productive, helpful, or not any of those things. And yes, I got bad news for you. Many religious organizations do the most horrific things. Why? Think about it. It's like, why do the foot fetish guys become shoe salesmen? Why do the child molesters become sometimes, unfortunately, coaches or priests? Because they've got they've got marks there that they consider to be easy marks, right? And so they think, oh, kids, their parents trusted them with me, and they told them to put their complete trust in me. Now, in a church, what are you told all the time? Don't question. What was the forbidden fruit that they ate in Genesis? They ate from the tree of knowledge, and that's what got them kicked out of Eden. They tell you, don't believe in knowledge. Don't think for yourself. Just this is the dogma of the book. Have faith in it, and whoever is up on that pulpit, trust them 100%. When you do that, this result in some instances is guaranteed. Power corrupts, absolute corrupt power corrupts absolutely. And if you give blind faith and allegiance, there's an excellent chance terrible things will happen.
Right. And you know, these kids weren't able to communicate with their parents because their phones were taken away. And there were arranged marriages because the church had more women than men. And so some of the men that were brought from Brazil were essentially forced to marry some of the women who weren't married yet. It's just insane. And the fact that authorities had learned about what was really going on years ago and nothing happened is concerning, to say the least. But I'm grateful that the Associated Press stayed on this story and you know, uncovered what's really going on.
And look, churches get a free ride in a thousand different ways. And look, all the religions do it. Parts of Islam, of course they do it. Look at what the Taliban does to young boys, Hazara boys.
Yep.
And it's just grotesque what happens. It happens in Hinduism, it happens in Judaism, it happens in all the religions. But in heavily Christian North Carolina, if it's a Christian group doing it, well, do you really want to go after a church? Mm-hmm. That might be politically disadvantageous. So let them keep doing whatever they're doing, even though it is horrific. Thank you, Associated Press. That's great journalism. Thank you for exposing it so they could put an end to it.
All right, let's move on. Employers in the United States are now exploring the option of microchipping their employees. If you don't believe me, take Three Square Market, a Wisconsin company, for an example. Apparently, one of the executives at that company went to a biohacks convention or some sort of event in Sweden, where the company that makes these microchips is essentially trying to appeal to employers. So what would the microchip do? Apparently, it would allow employees to have access to the office building, so they wouldn't have to have a key. It would allow them access to their computer. That way, they don't have to remember passwords. And it would make life a little easier, a little more convenient. But of course, there are some privacy concerns involved as well. On August 1st, Three Square Market will throw what they're calling a chip party, where employees can insert the $300 microchips provided free from management. About 50 to 85 employees are expected to accept the company's present. Mm-hmm. So again, this microchip is implanted in your finger, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah, beware of managers bearing gifts. So yeah. Hey, it's $300, but I'm gonna give it to you for free. Are you gonna use it to track me? No, of course not. Now look, in all fairness, I think that the person in this case in Wisconsin, the manager here, genuinely got excited. I think they do care about the technology. I think they do like the idea that it's gonna be easier to access your computer, etc. From my reading of the story, I don't see any bad intent.
Yeah, my sense and my read of this particular company is not that there's any malicious intent, but that they want to be on the cutting edge of technology. And yeah. So it's exciting, and I understand that it is exciting, right? You want to be first, but there are some ramifications to that.
Yeah, and they did QC things. It's not just a chips party. They had chips and salsa. Get it? Yeah, I got it. So here's my overall thing to you, though. Don't do it. Because it starts as, you'll be able to turn on your computer with your hand. And you think they can't track where you're moving if there's a chip inside you? Of course they can. Mm-hmm. Now, why would your employer want to do that? Probably they wouldn't, but then they lays 100 different things. Wait, I saw on your lunch break it was an hour and a half from your chip. You were still at Applebee's for an hour and a half.
Right.
Oops. You told me that you were exercising because of the healthcare benefits that the company is giving you extra for exercising, but I see the chip hasn't moved at all. And like maybe this manager isn't going to do it, but the next manager will.
Yeah, here's the thing. I have no problem turning on my computer with my fingers. I have no problem memorizing my passwords. I have no problem using a key. Or pretty much anything that I need to use other than a microchip to open a door to my office. But I feel like we get so excited about technology that we don't think enough about how invasive it could be, privacy concerns. And yeah, I have no fear of you tracking me or micromanaging me in that way. But even so, if you approached me with the microchip idea, I'd be like, no, I don't want to be microchipped. We already have enough technology constantly tracking everything we're doing. I don't need to add to that list.
Having a chip inside your body.
I think it's weird.
So terrible idea that you should have two words, hell no. So I'm going to give you more examples of what can go wrong here. But first, I'd like to note how funny what Anna said was. Like, could you imagine if you could turn on your computer with your hand? I can. I press the on button. Hey, yeah. It's your hand either way. It's not that much harder to press the button. Anyway, the Washington Post notes trackable data is hackable data. So yes, maybe your manager had perfectly good intentions, but somebody can hack into that data.
Right.
And then whether it's your manager or someone who hacked into it, what if your chip went to the wrong place? What if it went to a strip club? What if it went anywhere.
And not only that, I mean, keep in mind that one of the potential benefits and also one of the potential downsides is that this chip could also include, you know, payment data. So you could use the chip to pay for things that you want to buy as long as the retailers have the technology to correspond with it. And so I don't really want a chip to have that data, right? I don't need that. And already there are issues with having all of that data on your phone, right? But I feel like having it on a microchip is just an extra layer of potential security risks.
Yeah, and they say, oh, wouldn't it be cool? You could pay at the grocery store with your hand. It doesn't take that much time to take out my credit card or my debit card or whatever.
Yeah.
And they say, well, your phone can track you too. That's true. That's why I'm a little troubled by it.
And you can turn off the GPS tracking, or if you're going to go somewhere shady, you could just leave your phone.
You can leave your phone. You can throw your phone in the garbage. You can't throw yourself in the garbage.
Right.
So this is science fiction. It has become reality. And even if you think they mean well, and it seems like, hey, I'm getting $300 for free, and I get salsa with it, and I like salsa, don't do it. Don't put that chip inside you. It's a terrible idea. Okay. Now, the chair guy.
I'm going to save that story for tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Got you. All right, guys. Then we're done. Much love, serious audience, online audience, all the same thing. Remember, tytnetwork.com/join. This is the last couple of days now where you can sign up and get a free trial membership for a whole month. So go to tytnetwork.com/join and then use the promo code FREETYT and you get a free TYT. All right.
Bye-bye.